Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you and our guest this evening for the next hour. Lots of things on the table. First of all, I just got to listen to the Rick Adams show. I have to admit, I listened on another network. And Rick's on RBN. I have been on that show as recently as last, or I should say that network as recently as last Saturday with Greg Evenson. And I had an opportunity to discuss a lot of the issues surrounding the corruption in the real estate market, as well as the CIA connections of the Dunham so-called grandparents of Barack Obama. And this farce just gets deeper and deeper as we go along. Now, aside from that, I got to hear on Rick Adams' show Lindsey Williams, who has come out of the closet after having been threatened to pull his books off of his website, his DVDs and CDs and DVDs, as well as the website itself. He had been repeating this story that he had been told many years ago and had been bringing to the public's attention for the past 35 years about the plans to raise gasoline to such a price that in 2008 we would be paying in the neighborhood of $5 a gallon for regular gasoline. And that's exactly what happened. In addition to that, around June or July of this year, Mr. Williams made contact with his old bosses at the Prudhoe Fields in Alaska when he first became the chaplain of some 25,000 wildcatters there when they were building the Alaskan pipeline, and the workers were rather rowdy, and Lindsey led them to know Jesus Christ and to recognize that they had more responsibilities than just doing that work and then getting drunk and cavorting with women. So he really became enamored by the people who had given him the opportunity to be the chaplain to these 25,000 workers that were up there at Prudhoe Bay. He was an insider, and he was given a lot of information about how the world was being controlled by oil, and so he had written a book, The Energy Non-Oil, or I should say The Non-Energy Crisis, and that book became a bestseller, for one thing, and it sold every time Lindsey Williams does an interview. Until, of course, he was told to pull this book off the shelves and to cease immediately in selling it. He was also warned that he might consider going out of the country, and he decided for the safety of his family and his own personal safety, for his children and his grandchildren, that he was going to heed their advice. They had never given him such a warning, and he took it very seriously. Shortly after that, he began to discern and come up with some new information that they were intending to lower the price of oil to $50 a barrel, which is what's happening right now. In fact, today it's down to $42 and maybe some cents per barrel. The reason for this, according to Lindsey Williams, is to cause the Middle East countries to go bankrupt. And it's already having its effect on Dubai and some of the other oil-producing countries, Saudi Arabia and Nigeria. Their intention is to create a situation where the dollar will absolutely collapse. This is designed to take place within the next year, and within the next couple of months, we will begin to see very strong signs of that. So I wanted to mention that he will be interviewed again tomorrow, and I'm going to try to get him back on Evident Footprints so our listening audience can hear it firsthand right here on BBS Radio. He has been on the show in the past a couple of times, and now that he is back in the circuit and granting interviews, I definitely will get him on the show. I promise you that. Quick note, I found out today from speaking with talk show host Alan Stang that the Ohio legislature, and we're talking about the state Senate, passed a resolution. It's considered a joint resolution sponsored by Senator Faber and co-sponsored by Senators Seitz and Schaefer, all in the state of Ohio, to give the President of the United States some very unusual powers. And this is very distressing. They're calling for a convention where they can have all the state senators, based on a two-thirds vote of all 50 states, to go and work out this deal where they give some very unusual powers to the President of the United States. The First Amendment, or not the First Amendment, but I should say, I'll read straight from the document. First, the amendment shall require the President to submit and the Congress to adopt only balanced budgets for all federal programs and agencies, except in times of war. Now, this sounds like something that is intended to get rid of debt, to get us in the black, so to speak, and not operating from this position of severe debt to foreign nations, debt to the Federal Reserve Bank, which is really unconstitutional. And the manner in which the Federal Reserve took control of the U.S. Treasury is treasonous in terms of those that permitted it to happen. If this were the case, if the President could submit a budget and get the Congress to adopt a balanced budget for all federal programs and agencies, it does not include departments. For example, the U.S. Treasury would be exempt from this. The Federal Reserve, in terms of the power that they've given the Federal Reserve, would be exempt, as they are right at this very moment. We're watching in the insanity of this bailout and the billions and now trillions of dollars being given away to failing companies. And the exclusion or the one saving grace of this whole thing here is except in times of war. They've been telling us we're going to have a war against terrorism for the next 100 years. So don't expect under this bill or this proposal to see any balanced budgets. All they have to do is keep the war going, and they never have to balance the budget. This is absolute insanity, and I'm ashamed to say that I'm from and live in Ohio. Then the document goes on. Second, the amendment shall grant the President the authority to disapprove any item or items in any bill presented by the Congress to the President, in addition to the President's authority to disapprove entire bills pursuant to Article 1, Section 7 of the United States Constitution, which in essence means he can pick out any line item that he chooses, one way or the other, or several line items, or the entire bill, and do as he pleases. Third, the amendment shall require the President to submit and the Congress to adopt budgets for all federal programs and agencies on a biennial rather than annual basis, and be it further resolved, and on and on and on. This insanity. Now they're saying just balance the budget every 2 years. So now this extends this whole concept to 200 years. For the next 200 years, they don't have to balance the budget. Now, I may be stretching it a bit, but biennially, they can change whatever they want to say about a war on terrorism. And the real terrorists are in Washington, D.C. And now we know in our state capitals. This is going to do nothing but create a dictatorship in this country, and it's totally going to destroy the Constitution. So while Lindsey Williams is sounding the alarm about the big corporations and the oil cabal that's controlling the world, now I'm sounding the alarm, along with a few other talk show hosts, about the insanity that is just taken over our state governments. Think about that, and if this troubles any of you, and I would consider, or I would suggest that you consider calling your authorities in your state and voicing your opinions about such an action, because their intention is to get our governor, Governor Strickland in Ohio, to sign this document, send it to Washington, and then get a two-thirds majority. Sounds like Barack Obama may be behind this whole thing, or at least the Democratic Party. And this is just more excuse to get their hands on the money and put it in one person's hands. It's anarchy. It's a dictatorship. That's all I can say about it. With that, I would like to invite back to Evident Footprints a frequent guest now. He's a good friend of mine. He is a researcher, a journalist. He has a great website that features wonderful educational material about health, about technology, about politics, about history, metaphysics, chemtrails, you name it. This man is a walking encyclopedia. And he's also a very good friend of mine, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thanks, Don. Good to be back with you again.
Seth, if you can make sure Ken's volume is up a little higher so I can hear him clearly, I would appreciate it. Okay, Ken, you got to hear my introduction here.
Yes.
Obviously, I'm wound up again.
Right. Well, I didn't know about the Ohio proposal. I'm glad I did hear about it from you. It sounds like something that ought to be posted on websites like mine, at Rensa, Alex Jones, etc. It sounds like a very important, let's say, maneuver that the public ought to be aware of and to try to raise sand about it. The notion, we have to make something, well, let's talk about how the checks and balances supposed to work between the three branches of government. Rules were formulated at the beginning decades of the country in order to try to prevent any one sector of the government from having more power than the other sector, and that's why constitutional amendments were created to create checks and balances. So no one group, the president, the executive, can't exercise greater power than the legislative or the judiciary. That's the idea behind checks and balances. Now, we have now the bulk of power in the government, in the Pentagon, the military, etc., have fallen at the hands of fifth columnists for the most part, traitors who are, while pretending and masquerading to be congressional representatives, senators, presidents, vice president of the country, etc., are actually agents who are working on behalf of the New World Order gang to bring in this one world government. So they're actually putting forth proposals, bills, etc., in order to eviscerate the Constitution and to make it impossible for the people to have any recourse to rein in the power of government. So anyone, you know, who's listening to this conversation needs to come to grip with this reality, this effort to essentially subvert the government, you know, in favor of this cabal, this power cabal, at the expense of the people, has been going on in the country. It's not like it just began recently. However, the strength, or let's say the depth of the influence now of these New World Order agents has now grown so significant that they truly are moving towards the last stages, if you will, of this takeover. I refer to it as the takeover of America, because that's precisely what they're doing. And as long as we listen to mainstream television, for instance, or most of what you hear on AM and FM talk radio, presents the daily news as if the founding fathers' mechanisms of government to have this checks and balance between the legislature and the executive, etc., as if everything is in place and working as it should be. The only discussion they allow, or the only friction or conflict they talk about, is that between what we're told are ideological difference between Democrats and Republicans. And they keep the conversation focused on what we're supposed to believe is a difference of opinion on how to run government, whether you call yourself a Democrat or a Republican. That's what that's the cover story, but it is not the case at all. It is a false perception of what's taking place. What's taking place is that the Congress, judicial, and executive are now majority controlled by New World Order agents who are moving towards the goal of preventing the people from effectively, politically, preventing the steamrolling of these contrived events to destroy the country. Now, one of those contrived events which we're seeing now in real time is the created economic collapse of the American economy. And while that's apparently moving forward very strongly, the false cover story, if you will, that's being debated on AM and radio talk shows, television talk shows, is this idea of they're discussing the details of, well, will it be beneficial to, in the long run, to the country, to bail out the American auto industries. I keep on hearing that word, the American auto industries. Well, we both know who owns Chrysler, Ford, GM, yes, etc. It's not the American people, that's for sure.
I wrote about that in my Obama piece, if
right,
you remember.
Right, you wrote about that in your Obama. So I just want to remind whoever is listening to this conversation that when they say the American auto industry, they're talking about an international corporation that's largely dominated by owners that are non-Americans. I think you mentioned that Chrysler is majority owned by a German auto firm. So when people listen to this masquerade, this play, that it's philosophical difference between Democrat and Republican. Obama, you know, is going to, well, wait till he gets in office, he's going to do a lot of things. The big change is coming. They live in they express these fantasy notions that have no basis in truth or reality. Obama is as much a New World Order agent who's now being tasked with the job of carrying forward the plan to destroy America. We just had 8 years of a man who, by any other measure in business or in, you know, couldn't get much farther than the mailroom. Intellectually, the man's a failure, and he's simply was a robot. He carried out the Illuminati plan to help force up deflationary situation, force up debt through launching into wars, which he and the other members of his cabal knew Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with, knew the people in Afghanistan had nothing to do with 9/11. It's not as if these people are doing this because they're incompetent, which is what part of the cover story they try to sell us, or unaware of the true facts, which is also part of the cover story. They are traitors holding the highest office in the land who are actively engaging in a conspiracy to destroy the United States. And this is what every American citizen who wants to preserve this republic needs to come to grip with and stop playing around with this childish fantasy that it's Democrat versus Republican, conservative versus liberal, or the new tag word is progressive, etc. That is just a sideshow. It has nothing to do with the treason that's taking place every day in Washington on a federal level and in state capitals throughout this country. Now you're just getting an example of a sort of a treasonous maneuver with this Ohio bill you just expressed to me. What do they want to do?
Ken, if I could make a couple of points here.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I agree with everything you said. Back in 1950, this is after World War II, about 5 years after World War II, they discovered in Madrid, Spain, what was known later as the Madrid Circular. It was this proclamation by the Germans that they would take over the United States without firing a shot. And, of course, that's a claim that the Soviets have made, too. The document, the Madrid Circular, stressed a phrase that they used that became their motto. Für uns, die Krieg ist niemals vorbei, which means in German, for us, the war has never ended. Mm-hmm. Now, I find it interesting, I'm not attacking Germans, but it's interesting that the three gentlemen in Ohio who sponsored this bill happen to have German last names. Senator Keith Faber is on these following committees: Agriculture, Finance and Financial Institutions, Insurance, Commerce and Labor, Judiciary, Civil Justice, Judiciary, Criminal Justice, and Rules. Now, he has been in office since January 2007, so he's a rookie. Now, why did they assign this duty for him to write this bill? The second senator, he's a co-signer, or co-author, if you want to call it that, co-sponsor, Senator Bill Seitz, who began serving the Senate in the state of Ohio in October of 2007. He is on the Correctional Institution Inspection Committee, Health, Human Services, and Aging, Judiciary, Criminal Justice, Judiciary, Civil Justice. Actually, he's the vice chair of the Criminal Justice Committee, State and Local Government, and Veteran Affairs. Now, the third state senator, is Senator Tim Schaefer. He is on the following committees: Environment and Natural Resources, Highways and Transportation, Insurance, Commerce and Labor, Judiciary, Criminal Justice, Ways and Means, and Economic Development, vice chair. Now, what I find interesting, and I think you'll agree with me, all three of these guys are on the committees that have everything to do with the money laundering going on in this country. They would be the committees that are an oversight in essence, or sponsor bills that enhance the state's ability to produce income in those areas. And I can tell you, based on the amount of real estate corruption that there is, and it's nothing like what it's been presented to us in the media.
Yes.
Absolutely, the last thing to do is to blame people who own mortgages, who are paying mortgages on properties that they're about to lose or already have lost. And we're talking people in the millions already this has occurred with.
Yes.
This is nothing but organized crime. Like Al Capone or Dutch Schultz or the Gambino family or the Sicato family or the Golub crime family, any of these crime families that you see in the movies. Actually, Vito Corleone in The Godfather had more class than all of these people put together. As far as if you want to believe the movie, it was very realistic as to what goes on in organized crime families.
Absolutely.
But this has been an infiltration of Japanese organized crime, Chinese organized crime, Russian mafia, Polish mafia, Italian mafia. Anybody from anywhere in the world where there's a mafia, they're here. Primarily, they're in Chicago. But they're in New York, and they've set a network of their agents, like you were describing, from out of the area into government programs, and they're just milking all of the government programs, and they're gambling public funds. It's what they're doing in derivatives and hedge funds. Now, they're asking for a balanced budget, and they've given the Federal Reserve power over our financial system, over our U.S. Treasury. Folks, the Federal Reserve is upside down one and a half quadrillion. That's with a Q. Dollars. Upside down, that means they're in the red. 1.5, if not more, because you have to add these trillions of dollars now that they're just creating out of thin air. It's insane what's going on. Absolute insanity. And now people are going to see this all come to pass if we do nothing about it. Any comments about any of this, Ken?
Yeah, let me try to paraphrase a little bit. Someone listening to this show is not going to be able to clearly understand the implications of what you're talking about, real estate fraud on a very, unprecedented level. So let me just paraphrase a little. You haven't explained the details of the fraud because that would take a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 hour show right there. So you're merely making the statement that you have been doing a lot of extraordinary research in the last year or so, and very often you'll call me, often on a daily basis, and you reveal to me new important pieces of information that you've come upon. And what you've gleaned now is that there is a mind-boggling crime taking place throughout the country that involves government officials, judges, people who, in governmental positions, normally considered, upper level of responsible government. This includes law enforcement, etc. And what you found is that they are laundering money, stolen money, through real estate transactions in which they're using the names of people who are often created. Hold on one second. Let me take care of something here.
We have someone coming in from outer space right now.
We're going to just have to let that one fly. what you found out is that there's a mind-boggling level of money laundering taking place through bogus real estate transactions throughout the country. Now, you found that in a certain state, in a certain county, it seems to be the rising point for that that activity. But you're in the process of investigation, and you've already talked about it somewhat, but the nitty gritty details of the nature of the fraud you've yet to publish, but that will come. And when it comes, it's going to be one of the biggest stories that have ever been presented to the American public. It's mind-boggling how big this corruption is and how many high-level people in government are involved with enriching themselves through this fraud.
Yes.
Now, so anyway, I just wanted to briefly paraphrase that. So people listening to this and you're just hearing you saying real estate fraud, you haven't explained what it is, but it's there. You've told me the details of it. It takes quite a bit of time to explain it. But there's a huge story that you're going to expose in time that's going to be very big, big news indeed. Now, the other thing you mentioned, I'd like to maybe just add some thoughts to, is that you had said that I just lost the thought I was going to go.
Well,
to.
We were talking about the Abwehr and the Nazis.
Thank you. The German connection. Yes, I did want to make a brief aside to that. It's absolutely true that many of the people involved in this conspiracy to destroy America from within are of Germanic background. That's absolutely true, because there is definitely a infiltration into America, essentially by people who are dedicated to the Nazi cause, both towards the end of World War II. Everyone knows by now about Operation Paperclip. Most people probably don't know how high the number of infiltrated Nazis were. What I used to read in articles and stories and books, let's say 10 years ago, is that when I first heard about Operation Paperclip, I heard a number of as many as 5,000. Well, I since read that the number is closer to 50,000 Nazis of various ranks, capacities, specialties, etc., were secreted into the U.S. to essentially carry on this plan to subvert the United States from within and to, in effect, complete the Nazi desire to control the world. And it hasn't changed. They've simply stopped conducting the war overtly, and instead have been continuing the conspiracy covertly. And there's, you know, at least from the Nazi plotters' point of view, they find themselves, or they are inserted into high positions of government. Example, Mr. Rumsfeld. And, of course, the Bushes are well known for the Bush family, well known for their admiration of Nazi characters and Nazi regimes. So
as
there are
Clinton,
a large
actually.
Percentage of people with Germanic background who become senators, congressmen, etc. And who's behind these proposals of bills that the ultimate goal is to, you know, break the checks and balances and to consolidate power, in this case, in the executive. A line item veto for any bill given to the president. Well, the whole point of legislative wrangling is that somebody proposes a bill that perhaps ultimately is intended to benefit a vested interest. Well, some other senator or in the House or in the Senate will create amendments that will, in theory at least, somehow offer something in addition to the bill that helped the, or aided or enriched the vested interest, will somehow aid the people. So they come up with a compromise bill, and in earlier times, the president either signed it or vetoed it. Now with this line item veto, which was proposed by Reagan, I remember, he wanted to do that for the budget. But now they're talking about a line item veto power for any bill put on the president's desk? This
yes.
is a tremendous loss of constitutional checks and balances. I mean, it's mind-blowing. It's staggering.
Absolutely. You can tell by the anger in my voice, the disgust of how it hits me that this would even be pulled. No one's asked the voters in Ohio. I wonder how many people in Ohio actually know this has transpired today. Now,
exactly. That's why I'm gratified you brought it up. I didn't. I was not aware of it at all.
Yeah. Now, I want to bring up a point here, too, related to this financial collapse that's occurring and this phony bailout and the theft of more trillions of dollars from the American people right under our noses now. They've told us that they're going to steal it, and we've given them carte blanche to write any amount, you know, fill in the blanks. With that going on, when we had this publicized meeting of John McCain and Barack Obama having gone to the White House, you recall that?
Yes,
they were being briefed on some things before the election. And then after the election, after John McCain conceded,
and
that was very suspicious to me. Very early on in the evening he did that. Usually it never occurs until after midnight Eastern time at least.
Yes.
But you're telling me the polls are just closing in California. The votes hadn't been counted maybe for a few days, and he was already conceding the election?
Yes.
Well, Obama was invited into the White House, and the media portrayed it as a public relations event where there was going to be a smooth transition from this meeting. Let me tell you, listening audience, and you can, how smooth it was.
Okay.
George W. Bush bribed Barack Obama to be quiet about all the theft. We're talking about trillions of dollars beyond this bailout. Likely $667 trillion.
Wow.
Christopher Story has estimated. And Christopher Story backs up this. He's actually the first one to publish the story of this bribe.
Okay.
This attempted bribe, okay? Now, I don't have any evidence one way or the other, but my intuition tells me it's absolutely true, knowing what I know about the money laundering that's going on. And my listening audience is well aware of it, and anyone who has read my articles is aware of it, as of January 2007, when my Wantagate article came out. So this is a pattern that has demonstrated itself, and a few journalists, I'm not the only one, few journalists have smelled the rat, and we've described the rat, and even shown where the alley where it hides, the garbage cans it eats out of. We've shown people all over the world what's going on, and the masses are still dumbed down and asleep, and the media conveniently looks the other way. So they're every bit as guilty in covering this up. This is the reality, really, of what's going on. The reason I'm being so forceful about this is we've talked about empowering people, and now people know who they are. They're learning. They're telling me they know who they are, and they know that they feel they have skills now, the basic skills to begin tackling a problem and not denying it, not running away from it. So we should start to see some things happen. We should start to see people take action. And the type of action is, first of all, to use some brains, because these people certainly aren't doing it. You're witnessing spiritual warfare about to take place.
Yes.
Massive amounts of it. And there's going to have to be a shift in consciousness, and people are going to have to get their heads out of their rear ends or out of the sand, however you want to put it. I hate to be so graphic. I hate to ruin the sand, too. they did I say that? I'm sorry. I don't take it personally, anyone. You know, the fact that we're bringing these points out, and a lot of people really care. They're researching, they're making phone calls to their congressmen, to their senators, to their local representatives. Folks, this is going on in your own backyard. This is not something far removed away from you in Washington, D.C., maybe 3,000 miles away from where you live, or 3 miles from where you live. It's going on everywhere. In the small towns all across America, this is going on. And we have to wake up. We have to realize and stop denying that this is happening.
The violence.
Go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry.
No, you're making excellent points, but as you do, ideas occur to me, and I want to try to mention them. Otherwise, I typically will forget as you get onto another area. So I'll just take a moment talking about the nature of action. What I've noticed, and what I would like to remind those who are listening to this show, the action that seems to bring the greatest result, which tends to slow down or interfere or otherwise create interference for the New World Order agenda to take down America, is court action. Very typically, when someone's upset about a legitimate issue, they'll send out emails to many people, and they'll very often ask people to sign a petition in protest. I've mentioned it a number of times on my website, but I'd like to amplify it here. Traditional ideas of getting your representative's attention have no validity today, and one of them is signing petitions. It doesn't matter how many names are on a petition. If you simply take the time to look at various petitions that have been raised year in, year out, you can go back easily 3 decades. You will see that the presented petition was, in almost all cases, simply ignored by the party who was intended for. Very often they never received it. It would be some functionary in a senator's office, for instance, or a governor's office, etc. Not acknowledged. You'll see nothing on it on the television or radio. There'll be no announcement, "Oh, Governor Schwarzenegger was given a petition today by the such and such organization with 175,000. No. You almost never, ever hear any news about petitions. And so what it does do, however, and first, the people who ask for petitions can be one of two groups. They can simply be of the, let's say, the traditional mindset who imagine or think that getting petitions is a fruitful activity. They could be in that camp. But I also believe that a lot of people are agents of a sort. And when people divert their attention to something as unproductive as signing a petition, it does have the effect of giving people the notion that they've done something about it. They did their part. They participated. And essentially, it takes the steam out of their engine. And I believe, or I suspect, that has more to do with the frequency of requests to sign on to petitions. Now, that's one downside. Petitions are ineffective. There's a second problem signing a petition today. You put your name on a list in which you are betraying your belief or sentiment about typically a constitutional issue or some other genuine concern for the breakdown we're experiencing in our liberties and so forth. Your name is going to wind up in a dossier on a government list. Pieces of information are collected on American citizens every day from myriad sources, and they are channeled into, by high-speed computers, into data collecting mega supercomputers, you know, under NSA headquarters in Virginia or Washington, et cetera. They have so many of these underground facilities now. And they profile is being built about you. And when the day comes in which we no longer have the Constitution, they might declare martial law, there might be scarier concepts of roundups and so forth, they're going to know your profile because you've revealed yourself through petition signing. So my advice is, A, petitions are a waste of time. Politically speaking, they accomplish nothing. But B, you're harming yourself by giving the traitors in government more information about you than perhaps you want them to know. However, a second way is to try to create change, is to get out into the street and protest. Now, that does have an effect. However, it's a very primitive way to do it, because as we found out in the Republican National Convention, for instance, people go into the street, they just absolutely got assaulted by Gestapo cops for no legitimate reason. I mean, people are being pepper sprayed, maced, clubbed, beaten, arrested, etc., for no legitimate reason. Just normal political demonstrations that in earlier decades were a normal give and take at national conventions, or at least in the streets outside national convention. Now there's this. So if you want to get pummeled and et cetera, you can do that, but I don't think it's the wisest way to proceed. It's wiser to first organize with your friends, associates, et cetera, and come together in common cause and realize the country is being subverted. And if ordinary people don't, among their families and friends, organize and take action, then the subversion scheme will go to completion, and you won't have a government anymore. You won't have the Constitution, where it's going to be very grim when that day comes. So
it's rather chaotic right now. So
yes, of course,
imagine.
I know. This is we are in a very, we're in an 11th hour situation. But what you see if you merely look at the news. Look at news reports. What slows them down is court action. While we still have courts, and yes, there is a certain percentage of corrupt judges, but they're not all corrupt. And there's varying degrees of corruption among the judiciary. And there's still a lot of attorneys in this country who think the system is on the level and it's legit and don't particularly want the country to go into a fascist Nazi-style police state. But they're living in this fantasy world in which, as I mentioned earlier in the conversation, which politically the radio stations and television talk shows tries to keep the debate on conservative versus progressive and, Democrats. There is no true tension going on there. It's a show. It's a dog and pony show.
Yes.
So in the courts, at least you have a chance. So when people are strategizing what to do, first try to recruit attorneys, licensed attorneys, to join the cause to try to save America. Because obviously people don't have the money to be paying attorneys to do, the attorneys themselves are in a position to help save the country because they can file litigation, et cetera, or maybe at least get the file, but they can help by not charging, ordinary citizens $500 or $600 an hour for their time to prepare, some sort of lawsuit against the government, against the military. I mean, there are so many things that lawsuits can be launched against, including the sort of backdoor deal that you're talking about with this line item veto. This slows the Illuminati down, and I need to emphasize this. People ought to be thinking about organizing. Court action is what's going to slow them down, and it's our best weapon. Forget petitions. Forget getting pummeled in the street. Organized for legal action to slow them down.
The only ones who are safe to sign petitions are talk show hosts and guests on radio shows.
Right.
Because they're already on the list.
They're already on the list.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, what you say is true. That's one means. Another thing that we can do is wake up to what's going on. And you can cripple a lot of these corporations in their tracks by ceasing to buy their products.
Mm.
And that, for some people, that's scary. That is so drastic. You mean I can't buy Pampers anymore? Or I shouldn't go to ABC Toy Company and buy all these toys? Or go online and buy cosmetics? And, you know, these are things that you really don't need. And when it comes down to it, when you're in a certain situation, when all hell is breaking loose,
yes,
you're not going to care about your lipstick and your mascara and your eyeliner and your rouge and your mask and whatever else you use. Those things aren't going to matter, and I hope that people have skin on their body at that time.
Mm-hmm. I'm in favor of the idea of what you're expressing. For instance, I've always had a personal dislike for Walmart, and it's my little way of saying that I'm not going to cooperate. Of course, Walmart is a New World Order Illuminati type operation from the get-go. They're using products from China that, you know, many cases are made by, could be prisoners, it could be political prisoners, it could be people who are not being paid anything at all, or it could be very low wages. The cost of these items are very, very small compared to the relative value. For instance, I just had a friend who was mentioning to me yesterday that he bought an umbrella made in China. Here in California, we have what's called 99-cent stores, in which every item in the store is price tagged at 99 cents or less. So we got a rather large umbrella, which, you know, fairly large black cloth type of nylon, I guess it was. You would think it would be $15 or $18 or so in an average department. Yet he got it for $1. And he was telling me, he says, it's just amazing how cheap these products from China are. Well, obviously, they must be manufactured by people who aren't being paid for their labor. And so, anyway, getting back to Walmart, I've never gone in there, I never will go in there, and I don't want to subsidize that operation because they're helping they're helping to undermine America by selling exclusively Chinese-made products, but they're also, you know, aren't that big on unions and benefits for their employees. It's kind of a slave labor force that they sort of encourage, and many communities are unhappy with the presence of Walmart. They have these very large stores that typically look like a large box, and mm-hmm. It's not something people are that thrilled about. You know, they've been on the scene long enough that people realize what the game is with Walmart. And I think you might have heard about a week or so ago there was a stampede. The sale in a Long Island Walmart store, and there was an employee there, not an old man, I think he was 33, 34 years old, part-time maintenance man, I believe. He was simply trampled to death by a group that literally broke down the doors
Ken, let me explain something further about Walmart. Now, I've had Carl Pearson, the attorney from New York, on the show several times, and he specifically stated that Walmart goes around to all the manufacturers of the various products they sell, and they do sell some American products, but it's predominantly Chinese, of course.
Okay.
And the manufacturers end up selling to Walmart because they threaten to go to their competitors, number one, and to price the goods below what this other company can sell it for.
Yes.
In fact, that's what's actually going on.
Yes.
These companies are manufacturing these products at a loss just to stay in business.
Right.
And Walmart is undercutting everyone else so that they divert all that business, that normal consumer business, to themselves. So they're hurting the manufacturers, and at the same time, they're setting the consumer up for a big fall.
You're absolutely right. By undercharging, they cause local businesses that are selling furniture or whatever to collapse from lack of business. And then so that in the end, they are causing all these failures of local established businesses around them.
That's called a monopoly. Now,
eventually,
what will happen is when they destroy all the other businesses and the manufacturers, they can name any price they want for Chinese goods, and people will pay it.
Right.
So it's something to consider. You see, we don't think about these things, and we don't, first of all, we don't even educate ourselves as a whole, I'm saying. You know, obviously we're talking about this on the show because we know something about what we're trying to communicate here.
Yes.
Now, the average person says, well, you know, it's the best deal. I can't afford to buy things. Well, wake up. Why is it that you can't afford these things?
Exactly.
Do you realize you're being taxed to death on every single thing you buy? And you're being taxed on things that you don't buy. You're being taxed on trillions of dollars of corruption. This has been assigned to each person in the United States right now. This is the downside. It's the minimum is $25,000 per person. What could you buy for $25,000?
Yes.
Some people could make a down payment on a house for $25,000. In some places, you can buy several houses for $25,000 out of foreclosure.
Right. We tend to not think about it, but I do notice when we either go to the grocery store or particularly when I go to the health food store in this area, when your order adds up to $60 or $70 or so, $80, here in this part of California, we have a 7.75% sales tax. You know, it's $7-$8 added on to the 70 or so that you just spent for the items you want. It adds up. It adds up. The utility fees that they add, for instance, to the telephone bill is a good example. AT&T has currently taken over what used to be SBC here in Southern California, and SBC in turn had taken over what used to be called Pacific Bell. Anyway, AT&T, I was just looking at the bill a few weeks ago, and I was just so annoyed. They list maybe 14 or 15 different items on added fees. You know, there's a fee for everything. But the total is as much, for instance, you might be able to get a regular ground line phone with the, you know, not with call waiting or any of that, but just the unlimited usage type of thing, about 15 bucks a month or so. All the fees add up to about 15 bucks. It's typically 12, 13, 14 bucks. So you're paying as much for the fee as for a full usage landline. the electricity here is tremendous in this part of California. We're all of California, in fact, is paying almost double for electricity rates than what we used to pay prior to Enron. Then Governor Davis, working with the Enron hooligans, set up the deal in which the state had to buy this electricity. It's a very complicated scenario they created, but essentially the bottom line is we doubled what I used to maybe pay a 1 month electricity bill, about $35. Now it's typically $73 for the same amount of electricity. We're trying to use less wattage all the time.
But and Enron was a CIA front company.
Right, exactly. And we also mentioned it, but I want to remind people that the guy at the top of this scheme was coming up for trial. And we were told in the news, he mysteriously dies of a heart attack just a month or so prior to his trial. Well, you and I both know that people who are, let's say, that entrenched with the cabal folks can arrange to fake a death. Also, we have something called human cloning technology that's been in place for at least 45 to 50 years, so that we've had our suspicions about some people who were told, Timothy McVeigh being another example, who were told had died. Certainly, we know the real Saddam Hussein is not the guy they hung a few years ago in Iraq. That was easy to see from his photographs that he was not the original. But we have many instances of these in which these elite players are skipping out on jail, on et cetera.
Well, you know, the guy they arrested that they showed the doctor fingering him inside his mouth and cheeks.
Yes, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, that guy not only didn't look like Saddam Hussein, he resembled John Belushi on a bad hair day.
Yeah, on a bad hair day. Yes, I had.
Bless his soul, a John
yeah.
Belushi.
There was photographs that were compared. I think I might have done an article or two. I didn't originate the story. Others had gotten it up before I did, but it was once I did see the photo comparison, it was very clear, particularly the teeth of the substitute Saddam Hussein, the teeth, and especially the lower teeth of the substitute were misaligned, and they were whereby the real Saddam Hussein, when you see him in photographs in which he's smiling from the 80s and early 90s at least, you see his lower set of teeth are very even, straight, flat, filed flat, etc. Very well manicured set of lower teeth. He probably had implants or whatever. And whoever the double was simply didn't have that dental work, so his lower teeth look crooked, etc. It was so obvious just from the teeth, and he undoubtedly wore the beard. Mind you, the real Saddam Hussein never was photographed with a beard. He was always clean shaven. And suddenly the prisoner Saddam grows this, you know, Paul Bunyan-type beard and is hung with the beard. Now, that purpose of the beard was obviously to cover up the discrepancies in the jawline, etc., between the real Saddam. And
so we can presume then that the real Saddam has probably been taken somewhere, either to, let's say, like Dubai or the United Arab Emirates, maybe Argentina, someplace far away. Long Island at Montauk.
Yeah, certainly there's plenty of underground facilities around the world. He's a player. He's part of the Illuminati cabal. So while publicly he's, at least after the invasion, he's the enemy of the Bushes and the United States and so forth. It's just theater. He's an Illuminati player. So he might be off planet. They've got big colonies on Mars. There's colonies on the moon. But he's probably on planet, plenty of underground bases to hide out in. He could be living above ground. We both know that Adolf Hitler survived the Berlin bunker, that he had a double that the world assumed was the real Hitler, and we know he lived to a very old age and just died of a few years ago. I think he told me he was 114.
Yes.
Hitler clearly lived in the open in the United States. I know a woman, Cisco Wheeler, whose father was an associate of Joseph Mengele and Hitler, and she had photographs of her father standing on a porch in a house in Oregon with Hitler and Joseph Mengele. He was willing to be photographed, at least by his own people. We know there's a number of photographs of Hitler that were taken in South America, Argentina, etc. So,
and even up at Lake McDonald Lodge.
Lake McDonald, Otto Skorzeny's photo of Hitler at Lake McDonald in what year was it, 97, 98?
1997, August 18th,
to
be exact.
So, if Adolf Hitler is openly living above surface and no one finds out about it, except along after the fact, then it wouldn't surprise me that a man as wealthy and powerful as Saddam Hussein wouldn't be living in, as you say, in some friendly Arab area that's rich, affluent, safe. Could be Saudi Arabia. It could be the United Arab Emirates.
I just had a crazy thought, too. It wouldn't surprise me if the guy they arrested as Saddam Hussein and supposedly hung, if he's not now playing the role of Osama bin Laden.
Well, that's another one. I think, actually, I'm seeing it more on mainstream now. I'm seeing more articles in which there's mainstream-type writers and reporters saying that it's becoming obvious that Osama bin Laden died some time ago, and that even use a reference from Bush somewhere, in somewhere he said to somebody, "Well, he probably died in such and such year." So, I guess we'll see a gradual public admittance on some levels, at least, that Osama, has been dead for a long time.
Yeah. Well, Ken, we're already out of time. We went over a little bit.
Okay.
But we hadn't really planned anything, so I really appreciate, and I'm sure the listening audience appreciates your input here, because this is really going on and it's not getting enough attention. And I've intentionally steered away from it, as you know, for the past 3 weeks. But
yeah.
I'm just feeling we can start applying all these things that we know. That's if the listening audience agrees with some of the wisdom that's come forth from the many guests on the show over the past 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to start waking up and doing something about this. You want to leave us with any closing comments here?
Well, I have often thought that I would love to be able to hear a show like yours on an AM or FM portable radio, which is how I normally listen to radio. But it just occurred to me a week or two ago, I might have mentioned to you in our private conversations, but if one were to get an iPod, apparently the signal comes from the internet connection is via cell phone tower, so you could listen and even downshow a program like yours if one had an iPod. I'm thinking about getting one for that reason, I get frustrated in listening to FM talk radio here. I'm hungry for news, but the propaganda and the spin, particularly NPR, they're driving me up a wall. I just heard David Frum, who they frequently have on now as a kind of a guest commentator. If you don't know who David Frum is, I mean, he was he's a terrible person, but he's a propagandist for the right. And it would be nice if larger numbers of people could hear a show like yours and yet not be tethered to the computer. So it occurred to me an iPod might be the way to be able to listen to a show like this and still be walking around and doing your work, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a lot of people that download my shows off of my website, and they can do that virtually with any MP3 audio.
Yes, of course, thank you. You're right. Right. That is an easy way to do it. MP3 players are commonly available now, and they're not expensive. And it's an easy way to listen to a 1 or 2 hour talk show, and you can put a bunch of them on a single card. Yep.
Oh yeah, they have some of them. I think they go up to as high as 16 gigabytes, if you can imagine that, in those little tiny,
they're
credit card sized players.
Fit easily in the palm of your hand, like a cigarette lighter, really small.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, two gigabytes in MP3 files will fill an enormous amount of space on an iPod. And of course, you can always download those to your computer and clear the memory from the iPod so you can store new shows in there. There's a lot of really great information coming out, and we have you every week this month now you're going to be on the show.
Yes.
I want to be able to cover some things that you have in mind. I felt we didn't really plan anything, and we were able to discuss intelligently what's going on. We can tie these things, folks, to history, and much of that history is on Ken's website, educate-yourself.org, and I encourage you to go there and just check out the wealth of information that's there. Ken's always writing. As you know, Ken, I'm working on a book now. And this is just too much information that I have to try to just fit it all into a few pages in the newspaper.
Right.
So,
wonderful.
And so I am writing a book about all of this stuff, and I have a very appropriate title for it. And I'm hoping to break some kind of record in publishing it.
Wonderful.
In terms of the speed of writing it, I mean.
Yes. Bravo.
So, maybe you can feature that book on your website someday.
Well, of course. Oh, you can count on it, Don. I'm sure it's going to be fascinating because your articles are dynamite.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, and as always, I appreciate the work that you do, and I want to encourage the listening audience to pay a visit to your site, and you can spend months and months and months there, probably years, reading all the stuff that's there. Just a tremendous amount of literary works, not just from Ken. Also, he publishes feature stories that other people write. And so you get a very broad spectrum of information, and eventually it'll hit you that you're reading the truth. Regardless of the source, it all makes sense. It all fits together. And I want to honor the fact that you tackle the illusions as much as you do the issues of truth.
Thank
and
you.
It's much appreciated. I hear that all the time from the listening audience. So You're welcome back, and I look forward to seeing you here again next week.
Same.
Okay, folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Our special guest, Ken Adachi, will be with us again next week. Be sure to visit his website, educate-yourself.org, and my website, directlightproductions.com. If you haven't read any of these research articles or looked at some of Ken's chemtrail pictures, I encourage you to pay both of our sites a visit. You're bound to learn something new and feel good about yourself. Special thanks go out to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible and to Seth Hendrick for the sound. Most of all, I would like to thank the listening audience for tuning in. Have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.